Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Good evening, everyone. To God be glory for everything that He is allowing for us through the ministry program and His many blessings that He have shared with us as we woke up early this morning in our right minds of His mercy and grace. Thanking Him for life, health, and strength, giving Him honor on this day for all that He means and all that He has done and what He is doing, and thanking Him in advance for what He's going to do. We are truly honored and blessed to be able to come before you to share, encourage, pray, love. And the show is, the program, so-called, is The Family Knows Best. I am the host, Dwayne Harshaw, and thanking God that I am a part of this ministry program. We honor each and every one that's calling in, everyone that is listening in, and thanking the Lord for you. We're going to do our prayer request before we get started. We want to pray for our household, our family, and loved ones, companionship, children, grandkids and great-grands, our church family, our church leaders, ministry. We need to truly pray for our church leaders because along with their own problems that they have to deal with in life, and then they're overseeing God's children, praying, going through encouraging to them. They have a lot on their plate. Sometimes we don't look at it. They say, well, yeah, you know, they shouldn't be going through that much because, you know, they're a minister or something. But their problem is much more than just ministering to the people. They have a lot more that they have to think about and go through in life along with the ministering. So we want to continue to truly, sincerely keep them in prayer along with the sick and the needy, the bereaved family. So many people that I've known in the last month here has passed, and close people that I know. It seems like every day more and more tornadoes, hurricanes, fires. Then we have the mass shootings around everywhere. We don't know what's going on around the world, but what we see. Our schools and teachers, we're going to continue to pray for our world leaders, the world as a whole, and continue just to remember each and every one, each other, the incarcerated, the people still dealing with the COVID. One of our ministry, we're supposed to have a missionary program this weekend, but her husband has COVID, so we had to cancel it because COVID is still alive and well. We don't know where or what it may be or where it may end up at, but it's still there. Our precious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, just once again, dear God, we humble ourselves before you and come before you, honoring you with everything that we have, dear Lord, thanking you for your mercy and grace, thanking you, Lord, for looking over us down through another day, giving us strength in our bodies, helping us continue to carry on, giving us an open mind to meditate, Lord, on you and your word. Thanking you, Lord, for everything that you mean, Lord, and anything that's not right in our lives. Forgive me of my sin, Lord, for the things that may not be right in life. We want to do what's right at all times. Some things we do, we don't even realize or recognize, dear God. But we have to continue to stay in touch and in contact with you, Lord. Holy Spirit, lead us throughout this night on the program to do what thus saith the Lord in the way that we should. Help us to continue to honor you, Lord, in the way that we should. To honor the elderly, the ones going through things in our lives, dear God. Help us to teach our children, dear Lord, in the right way. We're coming off of this resurrection weekend. He's alive and well. He has risen. He has given us an opportunity through all of this, Lord, to have an opportunity of salvation. Repent and accept Christ in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that has been presented before us. We honor you, dear God, for everything that you made. Each and every prayer request has been requested tonight. We ask that you work in the midst of each and every one, dear God. Strengthen us in our bodies. Strengthen us spiritually, dear Lord, that we'll continue to know that you're the source of our life, Lord. Help us to teach our children, Lord, in the right way. The holidays that come about, what they're truly about, Lord. That they may understand, dear God, that it's not all about the fun and joy, but things that have happened over time that they need to know about the word of God. Help us to teach them in the right way, dear Lord. Help us to continue to have prayer with them, that they will learn how to pray when they're in a situation in life. We thank you for relationships, Lord. We thank you for love and kindness. We give you all honor, glory, and praise. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And we thank you, dear God, because without you, we're nothing. We can do nothing. We give you the glory, honor, and praise, Lord, on this night, that you will see us through and help us to make the right decisions in life as we come before you. We ask all of these blessings. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. We do honor the Lord tonight. We do thank God for everything that's been said and done. We do enjoy coming on the program, sharing with the people. On this right here, we're going to start out. I have a Bible verse that I want to start out with. Family verse. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. It says that the Lord your God has given you this life. It says honor father and mother. And we look at the situations when it comes to the parents. Sometimes the father's not in the home, and the mother has to take over and do things that the father's not there to do. And, you know, even though the father is not standing up to his abilities or what he's supposed to do before the family, it doesn't mean that we still disrespect him as a father. You may not deal with him because he's not been there for you or with you, but he's still your father. But the thing is, you continue to have that respect and move on, whether you care to be dealing with him or not. The Bible lets us know this because this is the word of God that lets us know, no matter what, we have to honor them. And sometimes, which is not too often, the mother may walk away and leave the kids with the father. And it seems like the mother has a harder time when she walks off from the kids than the father do, because she's the mother. And, you know, many, many situations arise in our lives that we don't understand when it comes to family. So many things come about, so many things happen in life. But we are supposed to bring our children up in the right way. We are supposed to spiritually teach our children about Jesus, about Christ. Let them know that he's real. Let them know about what has happened in life just for us as human beings. We have to continue to teach our loved ones, our family members, that Jesus, he died for a reason. And we have to learn to try to keep family together, which is a hard thing to do in this time, the way that things are now for this generation. It's not like it was when we was younger growing up. The generation nowadays is more or less on self and what's going on out into the world. If they can get by that, that's all it is. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says, bear with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. It says forgive. I used to work with a client, and she would say, which she was working within the home with the client that I was working for. And she used to talk about the way things had happened and come about in her life and the way that she was treated in many ways and the things that people had did to her. And she was supposed to have been a Christian woman. But she told me one day, she said, I've been done so bad by people that she had mentioned. She said, I just can't forgive them. She said, I know I'm supposed to. She said, but I just can't forgive them. I said, yes, and I just can't. And I told her, I said, we have to learn to forgive a person in order to make it in. And I said, you may not forget what happened or whatever. I said, but we have to forgive in order for Christ to love us and to be forgiven. He forgave us. We have to forgive. And she went through that for a long time with the people that had really, really hurt her in a way that she just couldn't see her way through to forgive anybody. And, you know, sometimes you get people like that. I've even heard some people say when things happen within the family, if you mess with their child or anything comes about the child, they would say, well, I'm going to lay my religion down and do such and such. Well, you're just doing a duty. Your religion is just a duty. You're not really living out the Christian life as a child of God that the Lord has given you to live sincerely deep down inside your heart. You can't just lay it down and pick it up when you feel that it's appropriate for you and yours. Sin is sin no matter how you look at it. You never had anything from the beginning when you speak out like that that represented Christ in your life anyway. Because when you serve the Lord, you serve him wholeheartedly, not to use him when it's a need for time and to lay him down when things is not going your way and feel that you can just pick him up and drop him anytime you feel. Salvation doesn't work that way. When you repent and you accept our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into your life, you accept him to live out a life that represents him. You have to read his word, study his word, walk in his word, that people may see something Christ-like in you. If you're going out there and you're living one day and the next day you're out there and you talk about laying religion down to do or say what you want to a person, and then after it's all said and done, you feel like you're just going to pick something up and start living it again. It doesn't work that way. Salvation is a life of living for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in a way that it represents what he has done to give us an opportunity to have salvation. Psalm 133:1 says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. So, as family, Christian family, church family, individual families, we have to live it as the Lord says in his word. We have to share it with our families the way that we should. Share it with our children. Share it with all of our loved ones, friends. They have to see something that has a change from the life that you used to live to the life that Christ has presented to you now, to the way that you live. And we have to show a change in our life and want a change to be in our life. We live this life to be better in the life that we used to live when we was living out into the world, doing any and everything. Some things you wouldn't even thought you would have did, but sin represents the world. The world that you open up to do what you feel you want to do. I lived it, been there, done it, but there's a change in my life for the better. And I thank the Lord each and every day for that change that he has given me. I have to be willing to live it. And when I talk to people, I have to be willing to share it. What good is it for me to go through living and praying and reading and reading God's word and just walk around like I don't have nothing to share with anyone else, holding it all in and say, well, I got mine. They have to get theirs. Get it the best way they can. Well, that's not the way we're supposed to live as God's children. We're supposed to love one another, help one another, live together, if possible, with one another, put up with one another. We get aggravated in things in life just like the next person do. But we have to be willing to forgive and go through. You don't forget things, but you live and you forgive and you move on with love in your heart. And if a person feels that they want to put you down or whatever, it's all right. It's because you live in better than what they are, and they just want to have something to complain about. Count it out joy when they do. At least you know you're doing something good and right, because they're complaining about you for a reason. We can't let that bother us, because we have the Lord on our side. We live this life to live again. And he is the source of all of our living. No matter what people say, we can always look to the Lord, because he's always by our side to help us through any situation that we may face or go through. Psalms 127:3-5, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, or children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gates. Psalm 127:3-5. So it lets me know we have to be children of God. We have to hold on to God's word. We have to continue to share it. We have to continue to encourage one another, each other, and we have to continue to live a Christian life. Not a religious life doing a duty that you feel that is for real. You have to live this life. You have to live it the way that the Bible says. The Bible gives you everything that you need to live a Christian life by. And there's nothing that's hid from anyone. It's just like so many people dying here lately around the neighborhood and about. And people say, I hate that, because they never had a chance. But everybody has a chance to hear God's word. It's up to you to make a decision on whether you want to accept it or whether you don't accept it. Because you have to live your life for you when it comes to Christianity. This is a journey that we have to live life for ourselves. Not to say that we don't have to help anyone or encourage anyone, but no one can live this life for us. Because if it could, my mama, when something would have happened in life and we die or whatever, she would have took us along with her. But she can't, because everybody has their own life to live, to accept salvation or not accept salvation. And then you have to live that life for yourself and be willing as you live it to be an encourager to someone else living it. There's many people out there hurting in the world that want to know, but not around the right people to find out. So it's up to us, no matter where we are or where we go, we have to share something of God's word to someone. We don't have to beat them up with it and just keep pushing it on them. We just let them know an encouraging word or whatever and go on and let them know we love them and we're praying for them. Sometimes we don't know how much that means for people to hear that. I love you. I'm praying for you. It makes a difference in people's life just to hear that, because they don't hear it enough sometimes, and they're struggling with life. I have, it says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. And once you get Christ into your life, that's a true statement. We love because he first loved us. He teaches us how to love in his word. When I was out into the world and I'd say, I love you, I really didn't know what love really meant. I just said, I love you because I thought it was the right thing to say. But now that I am changed, delivered, and saved by through and by the love and the grace of God, I can say I love you now, and I know what it means to truly love someone. It's a different kind of love that flows within your heart and comes out to let someone know you love them. And you truly feel that love, and you know what that love means. When I was out in the world, it was just the word said, and you go on, you didn't worry about it. But you truly want somebody to know now, when you're living for Christ, and I tell you I love you, I love you from the bottom of my heart because my heart's been changed. My heart's been changed by the living God through and by his son, Christ Jesus. He's risen. He's yet alive. He died for you, me, and us to have this time and opportunity now that we are living. If it hadn't have been for that, we wouldn't have no chance, no opportunity, no will, no way of thinking of anything. But just because of what has happened on that Friday crucifixion to that Sunday resurrection, we have an opportunity to live to eternity. It took that just for us. And I thank the Lord for it. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord for loving me so much that God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because of that reason, I have an opportunity. It's up to me to make the right decision, and I did. So glory be to God. I thank the Lord for that time that he has given me here. I'm going to read this one more scripture, and I'm going to open up the mic, get some comments and some help. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. So now faith, hope, and love abideth these three, but the greatest of these is love. 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 Love has something to do with everything that we do, we go through, we face. Love. Love is very, very important to the Lord. We have to have that love to be able to forgive. We have to have that love to be able to care. We have to have that love to do anything. Love is the whole difference in living throughout this salvation in Christian life. Love makes a difference in things, praise God. So I love, like the Bible said, we love because he first loved us. If he hadn't loved us so much to give his only begotten son, what chance would we have? None whatsoever. So praise the Lord. I thank him for that love, for family, for loved ones. And we have to continue to share this with our family and loved ones. Let them know Jesus is the reason. No matter what holiday, what season it may be, he's the reason for it all. Praise the Lord. We're going to open up the mics and see if we can get a little bit of comments. And if I can get this computer, it's not been doing too good for me tonight. Don't know why. It's been a little slack on me. But God knows. I'm trying to get my mics open, but this thing don't want to act right. There we go. There we go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You have your mic open. If we can get a comment or anything that goes along with the topic tonight, praise God. We got you on. Praise the Lord. Would you like to say anything? Okay. Well, we will go to the next situation. It says about death of a family member, the things that we really have to go through. This is so sad when we have to face these situations in life. It's no fun. It's no fun at all. But the thing that we do know, that God is for real. And one thing about it, he has our best interests in hand, and we can truly depend on him no matter what situation may occur or what may give or whatever. We can trust him because he knows best in our lives what we need. Okay, let's see where I was. Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, a time, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 66:13. As a mother confronts her child, so will I confront you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. Psalms 10, verse 17. You, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them, and you listen to their cry. This is the things as a family we have to do. We have our children crying, grandkids crying, out for help in life. They're going through things in life. We don't take the time to listen to them. We don't take the time to encourage them in the right way, the way that we should. And they're wanting someone just to listen to them because they're going through a struggle in life. And sometimes we don't pay enough attention. It's just like the teacher where the child, 6-year-old, come in with the gun. And they've had her on TV, you know, talking about it and everything and what had happened and how and everything. And she put her hand up and the bullet lodged in her shoulder. They said it's still in there. You know, 6 years old, the child should have never been in a position to be able to get a hold to a gun to bring to school, and they talk about the condition of the child and the parents, the things that they were supposed to be doing and they wasn't on that particular day. Well, today they charged the parent, the mother of the child. I can't think of how many charges that she had against her for neglect. But we have to realize anything like that, we have to have out of the way of a child, because when our great-grandkids come over, I tell them not to go messing in my drawers, messing with my stuff and everything. Kids are kids. Kids are curious. Kids are nosy. Kids are messy. You tell them something and they slip and they do it anyway. And I tell them because I can tell when they've been in there, I ask. And they get the little funny look on their face, you know, when you tell them who's been in there, who's been messing. I told you, you know, not to be messing with something that you weren't supposed to be messing with. But that's children for you. When you have children doing things that children do, that means you just got to make sure that the proper things that you don't want kids to get a hold to are out of the way, because they're going to mess with things. It don't matter how many times you tell them. Don't matter what you do. Once they get the plan and other kids are involved, they're messy. They like to look at things. They like to see what they can find. So we have to continue to be open with our children. We have to continue to show them that we love them by caring and listen to them talk sometimes, not getting upset and fussing at them all the time, because we don't know. We could learn something from our kids if we listen to them long enough and see the situations and the things that they may be facing sometimes, because we don't know. That's the reason why they're much more advanced than we was when we was kids back then, because they have so much to play with. They have so much that they can get on the tablets and learn and stuff from. And they start at a young age using them tablets. Some of them, they know just about more than you do. That's why you got to keep an eye on them and everything that they're doing. So, as family, this is the reason why family have to stick together, take care of each other's families. Don't have to be your family, but other families. Look out for other families, other family members, because they need help just like anybody else. And we have to, as a family, to show love to the neighbors, the family members on the side of us, around us, to let them know that we got our eyes open, we're keeping a check on things, so things don't get out of hand or get away from us. Family's everything. We don't have families pulling together like they used to back when we was growing up. Families have pulled so far away, and families are fussing and fighting over everything that their parents have left behind when they pass and they're gone, wanting to know who's going to get this or who's going to get that. And that's all they're worried about. You just lost a loved one, but you're worried about what you can get out of that loved one. And you didn't spend a day putting anything in or time into investing anything that your parents have done. And you're still out here acting foolish, doing things in life, haven't grown up to show that you can be responsible for anything, but yet still you're fussing and fighting over what you can get. Life is short. People's dying daily. Loved ones sometimes don't have enough help in life to take care of the younger. The younger's complaining about someone not taking care of them. And you already taking care of your grand, your great-grands, but they don't realize the importance of what you're doing because you're not doing it for them. I don't understand the generation today of not wanting to do the things that they should do for their young and their family, because it's a whole lot different when we were younger. We didn't mind doing it, wanted to do, wanted to work. Didn't want to sit around and not do nothing, but you can't get them to work now. As many jobs as available, and they're paying good money, some of them, but they can't hold a job. They work a little while, they quit. And they feel like the whole world is against them when they don't have nothing going for them. You only have something going for you when you make something happen for you. But you have to make it happen for yourself. No one can take care of what you need to take care of for yourself. A lot of young people want you to. And they get upset when you say, well, I can't do this, I can't do that, when they can get out there and do it for themselves. But we have to realize it's not like it was when we were younger. We're all getting older, and we can't do the things that we did when we was younger. But a lot of the young people expect you to be able to do it. Take care of their kids. Take care of them. They don't want to do anything in the home to help clean up or anything. Just lay around. Sleep all day, run all night. I don't understand it sometimes. You do all you can to help them. You do all you can to try to put them in a position of help. And when things don't work out, they play the blame game. Family members, for everyone that is listening, that has a family, love your family. Be good to your family. Come together with your family more often. Let your children get to know their cousins and come around them more to realize who are their cousins. I've had young people come together not knowing that they was cousins and everything, and they start talking, and then somebody come up to let them know, well, hey, you can't be talking to that girl or that boy, that's your cousin. Well, they're trying to realize, how is this my cousin? And then you have to explain to them how things are, how they kin, how they're cousins. They're ready to start a relationship, not even knowing about or thinking about anything about a cousin. So we have to continue to stay up on things in life, in family. So many families, I got so many family members now that I haven't even met. You know, used to be when we was growing up, we knew all of our family members. Now that you've got older, you don't know who is your family member. I found out that some people had more kids than I thought they had, you know. Find out, well, who was that? And they say, such and such. I said, well, I didn't know they had a son or a daughter that age, you know. So family, we have to continue to stick together as family. We have to know these things as family. We have to encourage one another as family. That's what it's all about. That's why we have family. Psalms 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. We have many that has lost loved ones this month. And if they look to the Lord, Psalm 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Only Jesus can do this. Only Jesus. He can do this for you if you put it in his hands. You know, we don't trust enough. We don't believe enough. Romans chapter 12, verse 5 says, so we, though many, it says, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Romans chapter 12, verse 5. Then we have Romans chapter 12, verse 17 says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Carefully consider what is right in the eyes of everybody. Mm-hmm. So we have to continue as family. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have your mic open. Anything you'd like to say? We thank you for calling in. Praise God. We have another verse that we want to read that says, family strengthen quotes and short Bible verses about family. So let's, it says, I can do all things through him which strengtheneth me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Matthew chapter 19, verse 19. That's the same thing as the other one. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbors as yourself. Then we go to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6. Children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. My son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad indeed. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 15. So we're still talking about family, letting them know about how we are to look at situations when it comes to the Lord, about the life that we live and the happiness in life if we live in a situation to where we love one another and we continue to teach our children to love, not to see any color. When it's just like when I take the kids to the park and they get out there on the playground, they don't see color. They get out there, I don't care if Hispanics out there, black, white, whatever. Once they're out there, they make a friend. Don't matter the color of the friend. And then the friend don't pay no attention to the color, and they all running, having a good time playing. But when one of the parents get involved and try to make it look like a color thing, that's what messes everything up. Because as children can come together and see no color in playing and doing things together, why should we as grown-ups be that way? You have people that wants to join your family, come to your house and play. They don't have to be black or white or Hispanic. They're just people. You look at them as people, no matter the color, if they want to come to your house with the with the son or the daughter to become friends. And, you know, we have to look at that situation and treat them all the same. Treat them as a loved one. Show them the respect that they deserve as a child or whatever. And they come in with respect to you. It's the adults that make the children what they are. Most of the time, children is looking at the things that you're doing. They're following your lead. They're looking at the way you act. They pick up little things in what you do. And then sometimes you look back on the situation, they're doing the same thing in the way that you do, acting in the same way that you did. And you're looking at yourself through that child, wondering. Sometimes before you realize, you're wondering, now, where'd they get that from? And then it comes back to you. Well, that's something I was doing. And they was looking and paying attention to it. So we have to be careful how we act and do things around our children as they grow older. If anything, you want them to imitate you on something good, something Christ-like. You have to lead them in a way that they see good things coming from you, nothing negative and no bad things. Let them see love coming from you, encouragement coming from you. And when they try to follow those roles in life, that's what makes you happy about seeing something in your child, your children, as they grow and they get older. It makes you happy to see these things. Missing someone. The love which between you and me. Oh, wait a minute. The Lord watch between you and me when we are out of one another's sight. It says the Lord watches between you and me when we are out of one sight. Genesis chapter 31, verse 49. God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in time of trouble. Psalms 46, verse 1. So it lets us know in the time of troubles, in the time of sadness, in the time of weakness, God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. We can always look up and call on the Lord for help in troublesome times. We can always look to the Lord to see us through these times. We can always depend and trust in Jesus to give us the strength that we need to go through these times and situations of life, because we're not strong enough to do it on our own. If we don't have him on our side, we turn to the bottle, we turn to the drug, we turn to the gun to take ourselves out or whatever, and just lost to the world. But with Christ on our side, fighting for us, right there along with us through our pain and suffering, if we are trust and have enough faith in Jesus and believe and hope, knowing and pray knowing that he is the best thing that ever happened to me in my life, and I can call on him at any time in my life, and he will see me through. Things don't happen overnight. It's a process of time for everything. But do we trust and believe enough to let that process work in our lives? We have to. Jesus knows best. He's the one who gives us the strength that's needed in our life. He's always by our side. The Lord is near to those who are discouraged. He saves those who have lost all hope. Good people suffer many troubles, but the Lord saves them from them all. Psalms 34, verses 18 and 19. The Lord is near to those who are discouraged. He's there. He saves those who have lost all hope. And he can see you through no matter what. Good people suffer many troubles. We do sometimes, but the Lord saves them from them all. He's the one that sees you through them all. So to God be the glory. If we have him on our side, we don't have nothing to worry about. He's all in all. Praise the Lord, sir. We have your mic open. Want to give you some space here. We got 3 minutes and a half just about. Would you have anything that you would like to say?
Greetings, salutations.
Praise God. I see you here.
Huh?
I said, I've seen you here off and on, so I've seen you back. So I said, I got about 3 minutes. So I'd put you on and let you get in a word. Praise the Lord.
In and out some, but I'm back again for the final finale, if you will. We thank God for your program and talk about the love of God that's past all understanding. And the Bible teaches us in Psalm 103, the verse number 11 says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love for those who fear him, those that reverence him, those that worship him, those that praise him. And I was thinking, as we talked about the family that earlier, and they were talking about, you know, we as a family, the church is, the family is a church, if you will. They got to be unity and communication and love. And if you're taught in the home, then the Bible teaches us when you sit at the table, you talk about it. When you're walking by the wayside, you talk about it. When you put it on the doorpost of your house and talk about it.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you get too busy. We get so busy within ourselves, we don't have that family time anymore. We used to sit down table when I was a young boy. We sat at the table, we sat together, we ate together. Now, everyone, different one, go to their own room, they get their own type of food, everything, because there's disunity in the family anymore. And it shows in the church as well. We need to love one another and take care of one another, watch out for one another. Don't look down on a man until you're picking him up. We got to do that.
That's right.
So the family is so important in societies that we're living in. Not much time I got left, but we it's so important. And it's hard, and it's more hard to keep a family in unity and in love and in concern. Way back when I was coming through, as I said, Mama would take care of us so greatly, and all we sat at the table together. Mama was cooking that over the old wooden stove, and we would sit there. Mama wouldn't eat until the children had eaten. She wouldn't drink anything until the children had gotten theirs.
That's
whatever was left, Mama would eat that.
The way it was.
Ain't that right? But now everybody have their own thing to do. Children are growing up in homes different than when we grew up, Doc. They are growing up in homes where they're smoking and drinking and cursing, pornography.
Yes.
All of that's happening now. In the homes. The homes are disturbed and in trouble today. But we got to get back to the old-fashioned love, old-time way, teaching our children. Sometimes we get too busy doing what we want to do. Football games and all this other stuff. You know, it's time to get back with God like the church used to be and have that love and unity.
Right.
All right. God bless you, man, for the space.
Praise the Lord. We thank God for you.
Amen.
And we do appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you for the space. Thank you for the space,
it's truly been a blessing.
It was so good until I extended it. You got 30 more minutes if you choose to continue with your discussion.
Hey, that's fine. We sure can go 30 more. I mean, I don't mind at all, because God has been good all the time. He's good to me. And the thing is, I enjoy sharing as much as I can, because like the elder just said, family. We used to sit
That's
at the
right.
table together. Mama would cook on that wood stove and everything.
Yes,
and she had a little red box, a little red thing on the table with Bible verses. And before we ate, each and every one of us had to pick one out of there. And we read it before we ate. It was after we said grace. Then we have to read that Bible verse before we touch them plates. And then after we each one of us read one, we put it back, then we'd eat. We ate, we'd get up from the table, take our plate, put it in the sink or whatever, whoever's time it was to wash dishes, because we did that too. We shared that
right.
And the thing was, it wasn't just one person doing it all the time. It rotated into things that we did, and it was a family thing. And then we took family time to sit down. Mama would sit us down, and she'd talk to us and tell us things about the Lord, tell us about things that we should do in a right way or whatever. You know, even though Dad would be out working on cars and doing his thing, but if we didn't respect Mama enough to where we didn't do what we were supposed to do, and he took care of that. And
that's right.
You know, he made it right to whereas we knew what would happen. And not only that, Mama, she would get us too. But once Dad would always tell us, if your mama gets you, then expect to get another one when I get home. So we got double whoopings when we didn't listen. Or
that's
we
right.
Up. You know, it wasn't like nowadays. You know, they talk about, well, not to whoop somebody or nothing like that. And then the whole neighborhood, wherever you went to play at, whosever house you went to, you respected that.
Mm.
If you didn't respect it and their parents got on to you and had to call your parents, then
that's right.
They had the okay to whoop you if you acted up and then send you home for another whooping when you got home. So everybody in the neighborhood watched after everybody's family. And we all played together. If we went to someone's house and they ate, we ate. And if they come to our house and we ate, they ate. That's just the way that it was, you know, back then growing
That's
up.
Right.
Everybody was out there, everybody's children. And nobody got to do anything out of the way in any family, no matter where you went, that their kids didn't do. Their kids didn't do it. You wasn't doing it either when you come to their house. You come to my house. If we didn't do it, you didn't come and do it. If you didn't act like you wanted to listen, Mom and them would send you home. And you had to deal with your parents once you got home. So we knew everybody in the neighborhood. And when we come together to do little things, the church would have little side road pickups, trash and stuff like that for the children, the youth, because we'd have like YPHA for the kids and stuff like that, little Bible studies for the kids. And when we did these things, the older women, they was within the little old cook space fixing hot dogs, hamburgers, and stuff like that while we went and we did the things to clean up around the neighborhoods and stuff like that to let the kids know how much they appreciated. And then we all got to come together as children in the neighborhood. But it's not like that now.
No.
You can't get the people to come together now, the families to come together like that now.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, neighborhoods back then was family. Not just
family.
Your family, but everybody's family.
Mm-hmm.
The church family, as the brother said earlier, the church family. It was a family thing. Is the way that we grew up when we was younger. So now we need to get back to that, find a way back to it. It's hard because young people's having young people, and they're not wanting to do enough to teach their children because they haven't been taught. And every little thing that their kids do, that's just like I was talking earlier. If you do something, children are watching you. They imitate what you do. If they hear you say something, they say what you say. They copy you from it. I had a little fellow one day, and he was looking at me, and I got up. And you know how once you get older, them old bones get a little weak sometimes. And I got up and had a little limp before I got started. He got in there, he said, yeah, this is how Pawpaw did. Got the pickets kicking on Pawpaw and got up and did the same thing I did. And I told him, I said, man, I'm going to beat you up. And he just lies, tickled him good. So it let me know he was looking, paying attention to what Pawpaw was doing. So that let me know we have to watch out what we say. We have to watch out the way we do things around these young children.
And Pastor, the cure for cutting in on you, but just what you just said.
That's all right.
They're watching. They're listening. And they're hearing what we say. And the way we act, they're going to act the same way. And that's why parents get embarrassed out in the open when the child says something.
That's right.
And the parents, oh, shut up. But you already heard this. But Lord have mercy, back with old God. And back then, the children was corrected. And we should, sometimes you had to get your own switch then.
Yeah.
If you got one that broke, somebody went out and got that stick, and whenever they finished with you,
you wish you hadn't got a good one.
Yeah, buddy.
Another thing is, too, they said when they said they were going to whoop you or get you, they did it. But now, you think you got away because you laid down and went to bed. That cover might fly over. And then they'll spank you right there in that bed. But
in
now,
that bed. I tried that. And
you
that
tried
didn't
that
save
one?
Me. They pulled the cover back off me.
It'll come back. But now, I think for that reason, too, the law, the government got involved and disturbed family relationships again. Because when they come and say, you don't take this child, we'll take you this, we'll do this and do that and the other to you. And now, parents, I think they may have a little fear in themselves by spanking their kids or correcting their kids now. So, therefore, the law interfered with families and kind of helped you break that up. So, therefore, you know, I'm glad I came up the way I did. Rough life, but thank God he has delivered me from that and gave me a better life. But the Bible says, when a man being Christ is a new old things that pass away, he said, I supply all you need, and behold, I'll be with you always, even to the end. So I'm not never alone by myself. He's always there with me. That was so good about it. He's showing that love to me. Amen. Even as I live out my old age, he has shown me his love. God has shown his love toward me. And I'm so thankful for that tonight as well. And I appreciate God. Amen. For what he's really doing for me. He's been blessing me, y'all. I'm telling you, God has been blessing me. I'm not talking about a whole lot of material things. Spiritually, he's been blessed. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm longing. And I need something from God that no one else can hear me. God has been he is both the will and to do of his good pleasure in us. When God does that, it's going to come on all right. So I'm just thankful tonight. I feel pretty nice, too. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Back to the point that children do what they see. And I used to say 50 years ago that, close to it, whenever my generation dies, then the world going to be better off. But I look at these little white boys now, they're just as bad as their daddy and their mama. And then you sit there, what happened to them? What happened to them, they grew up in a home of races. And as a result of that, they just like their daddy and their mama. Whenever they grow old. Because I looked at the ones down there in Charlottesville that did that. They were young boys. And that young boy that shot up them people that drove them all the way up to Buffalo, New York. True. Young boy.
Yes.
These boys in their 20s. So they learned it from their parents. You're right, brother.
The love of many has once cold, and that's hardly any love left anymore. But you read something that now by V3, faith, hope, and love, eternity is the greatest gift from God.
Gift, that's right,
man.
Absolutely.
Man. So true. So true. Like you said, we love because he first loved us, and it takes him for us to have that love deep down inside.
Amen.
Like I said earlier, when I was in the world, I'd say, well, I love you, and that love didn't mean a thing. It was just saying I love you. But once salvation enters into your life and the Lord changes your life, you know, truly, when you tell somebody you love them then, it's a meaning behind it.
That's right.
The worldly love don't have a meaning behind it like the spiritual love. And
come
the
on.
Thing is, it makes a difference in your life because you learn how to love. You learn how to present love to people. You learn how to respect love because it takes respect to love someone for someone. Throw that love back to you. Back then, they could love you not, and it really didn't matter. You
That's
know?
Right.
But now, by the grace of God, he has given us a love that we can feel love down in our hearts. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful that salvation is free to all, and that I'm
That's
a
right.
part of such a great salvation that Christ died for.
Didn't
give us an opportunity to have, because if it wasn't for his great love, God's great love, for his son to come in the flesh, we wouldn't have an opportunity at all.
That's
and
right.
Me,
That's
myself,
right.
he could have took me many times in life back when I was out there in the world doing all of my mess and the sin in the world. But he gave me an opportunity. He chose me for job. He chose me for something to respect, and I respect everything that he has given me to do because
Thank you.
It's something that we have to share with others. We have to let them know that Jesus died and come to this whole world to make it better for the ones that really wanted to live out through eternity. And Jesus, all we have to do is repent. Ask him into our life and live the life that he presents before us. And I really didn't understand back then, because I used to tell people, I said, man, I can't have no fun if I get saved, man. Well, I didn't know. I'd never been saved before, so that's just what I used to tell them when I was out in the world. But I was dumb and ignorant to the fact of something that I never knew and had never tried. But when Christ chose me to give me an opportunity to say I will, I do, and accept him into my life, I found out that salvation was for me and I could have just a good time serving him than serving the world.
You said
I enjoy
that,
talking about the Lord. I enjoy reading his word. I enjoy talking to people about the Lord. And without him, I'm nothing. Without him, I could do nothing. I have to let people know I serve a God that can do all things. And he is one that loves me, and I love him.
Come on.
I talk to the people on the job, and I let them know the life that he has given me to live, hoping one day that, you know, they will see that that same life is for them if they want it. But if not, it's an open invitation to all. Nobody's left out. They're only left out by the decision that they make.
They make.
You either
right.
want it or you either don't. It's your decision
right.
to make, because I have to live it for self. I can't live it for you. You can't live it for me. I had to learn these things as I went along and drawing closer to the Lord and asking him to help me with the things that I needed in life to be able to do what I do now. And I'm still learning. I'm still going through daily. It's a daily process. It's not a sometime process. It's an ongoing process.
That's right.
I can't do it now. Tomorrow I mess around and feel like I can pick it up the next day. This is every day, every moment, every
and nice thing
life, living for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to live it the best that I can. I'm going to share it as much as I can. And I'm going to continue to praise and worship and thank God as I go along.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has given something that no man could give me, no man could offer me. And I'm grateful. I'm happy in the Lord alone.
Oh, yes.
Continue to
yes, sir.
His holy.
And the Bible
like the here. Yeah, I'm just going to say it just like the elder here. When I first come in contact with him in the furniture factory, he's always been the same young man that he was back then. No change, same heart, same love, same joy that you see him with now, he had it back then. And he's always been real with it. Like we say, when paying attention to things in life, I paid attention to you in life and was seeing your life the way you lived it and carried yourself back then. And if my mama was here today, she would tell you that because I talked about you. So I've seen it, and it made me feel good to see someone. That's why I say I'm encouraged when I see you, because you have always been that type of person that carried that encouragement to someone else. You and your companion
both
had that love. You know, everything, every time you've seen you, it always was there. It was no change. You know, you get some Christians you go to and they change.
Mm-hmm.
They don't act the same in certain situations in life. But when you see someone that's the same, no change, and the same love or whatever, when you see them, it makes a difference in life.
Yes,
so
sir.
I thank God for you. I thank God for you because we have to be true and sincere on this journey.
That's right. Amen.
And there's no games or no plan when it comes to serving the Lord.
And you know,
so I'm thankful.
The Bible said, let your light so shine.
Yes.
Before men, that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. See, we are a light. We are a city that built on the hill that cannot be hid.
Amen.
We are the salt of the earth, the preservative.
Yeah.
If you take the saints out of the world, prayer out of the world, what you gonna have? It's a catastrophe. But God has a remnant that's gonna stand. And, you know, it's not just a daylight thing. It's nights included.
Amen.
The proof of integrity is doing the right thing when no one else is looking at you. You do it.
That's right.
We in spite of who's around or who's not around. It's time to be
real
or just be still. Be right or be wrong. Living in it. See, this life has got to be lived in reality. And it will manifest itself when we're living for God Almighty. When we're living for God, it'll manifest itself.
Amen.
It'll show up. Amen. Because we're going to see. That's not him. That's God in him. And the love of God is shed abroad by the Holy Ghost that liveth and dwelleth on the inside. Brother, I feel pretty good tonight. And I thank God that I had an opportunity just to come. Yes, sir. Whew. Glory to God.
Yes.
God loves us.
I can tell that you feel good. I feel that here. I don't know you. Don't ever recall meeting you. But I know you through the spirit realm. You are a man of the Creator. You have been called out from among the people. And because of that, you are carrying the message according to Jesus Christ. And whenever you do that, that means that you are touching the lives of a lot of people that you don't even know.
Yeah, somebody told me.
You just keep doing
what
you're doing.
What we'll do right here.
I hope and pray that you come back on the program.
Yes.
What we will do for this time, we'll let both of you introduce yourselves, because I know you both. And I let y'all introduce yourselves to one another. Praise God. Whichever wants to introduce first.
My name is Robert Lee Hayes.
Okay, I am Willie Armstrong. My family called me Ronnie.
Okay.
Because they could not pronounce my middle name correctly. So they called me Ronnie for short.
All right. And I pastor a little church, Chesterfield Church of God, will be in Chesterfield area. And I just want to do the right, live right, live hold. I'm asking God, just make me a holy man of God. I don't want to play games with people alive, not with my own life either.
That's
just
true. That's right.
What is right? I want to do what God wants me to do. And when I go to church, I don't go just to be going or have somewhere to go. I think, God, I'm going to worship and I'm going to praise you. And the God, if you're not going to be with us, there's no use in me going if you're not going to be there. I want God with me,
man.
Where is your church again?
That's in Chesterfield, Church of God. I live in Chesterfield. That's
where
Pastor Lee is.
Yes, it's nearby, not far from where I live here in Lenore.
Oh, so it's a section of Lenore. All right.
Just right outside Lenore. But
it's almost
away from the
Morganton
area. Yeah.
Going towards Morganton?
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Out towards Morganton, going toward down Morganton Boulevard. You cut off out through there, but
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Old Hartman.
Know
them
for
a
long time. Long time.
Yeah, man. Long time.
I won't say how many years, because I was still in high school.
I've been here.
Yeah.
But God been good to us. Chuck us here for a reason and a purpose. And
that's right.
You told me the night that had been on death row, I almost died, but God survived. He revived me and gave me a brand new start. I just want to do what's right. You know, I'm not out there for fashion. I'm not out for somebody to look at me. I'm out there for God. I want God to do it through my life. The Bible said, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path.
The path.
I want God to direct my path. That's what I want.
Amen.
Whew.
Well, see, the thing is, I tell people about my life, and it took a near-death experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
And this Saturday, April the 15th, I never will forget, and I tell people this, I won't forget it. April the 15th, 2008, was when God saved me on the side of a hospital bed down here at Caldwell Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
April the 15th back then, and I always remember that date coming this weekend, and that's when I have my other show at 8 o'clock, Saturday night at 8, but that'll be my anniversary accepting Christ into my life. So I tell everybody the life that I live now, I'm living off spare time that God had given me a separate opportunity of life. Because he could have took me then, even though I accepted Christ into my life, repented, and asked the Lord into my life. That evening, he could have saved me and still took me.
Mm-hmm.
And I never knew that part what was going to be in store for me when he saved me.
Mm-hmm.
I backslid, had many, many situations that I went through on this journey, but I got it right. And I'm continuing to run for my life, thanking the Lord each and every day for what he has done and the change that he has brought about in me. And he has given me a job to do. And I told him, I said, Lord, whatever you give for me to do, I'll do. And I'm not hiding it. people look and they say certain things, and I tell them that's not my life anymore. My life mm-hmm. changed from that. I'm living mm-hmm. for Christ.
Yes.
He has changed me for a better life mm-hmm. of living. He has mm-hmm. given me a job to do, to be an encouraging word to someone, to be able to uplift someone. I'm not mm-hmm. here to put people down because I can't mm-hmm. live their life. I don't know what the situation is, but if I can't build you up, I keep my mouth
mm-hmm.
shut.
It's
I
want right.
to tell you things to encourage you for the better. And like I said, I don't go around knocking people down. People's already down
mm-hmm.
enough. Why knock them down?
That's right.
When they're already down, to knock them down more. I want you to feel better when you come in contact with me. Let you know about Christ, how he can make it better for you. But
mm-hmm.
it's up to you to accept. But I'm not going to tell them nothing negative, and I'm not going to lie to them. I'm not sugarcoating anything. If you don't want to know the truth, don't ask me.
Don't even ask.
That's all I can tell you. That's all I can tell you is the truth, as I know. I've had many people get mad at me when I tell them, man, if you don't want to know the truth, don't ask me. Because you end up mad. Oh, no, I won't get mad. And then when I tell them the truth, they get upset.
Yes,
and I just go ahead. I said, well, I love you, man. I'm praying for you or whatever, and I walk on.
Got upset with Jesus, didn't
it? Yep.
That's all
did.
We can do. Yet it did. Yet it did.
And he shook the dust off in his sandals against him, too, didn't he?
Yes. So, you know.
I went on
we
carrying the word to the people down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So we got to continue on this time. Go ahead and live it. No matter how upset people get, no matter
mm-hmm.
how people turn around, look at you.
Come on.
It really don't matter.
Come on.
And let me know if they get upset that I'm doing something right.
That's
yes, sir.
Right.
Mm. He's on our side. That's what's
so
good about it. That's about the fighting
so
for us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
No matter how dark the day
yes,
gets. And how severe the pain, no matter how difficult the road may look to us.
Amen.
No matter how meaningful the sounds of life may seem, no matter how intense suffering may get,
oh,
he
yeah.
still loves us and he still cares for us.
Yes, he does.
And I'm so glad about
that's
that.
That's right.
Mm.
I told him, I said, I've made mistakes on this journey in my life, but he still didn't
oh, yeah.
give up on me. Still
that's
doing.
Right. He does.
Still
we
doing
get,
things
get,
for me and my companion. Still working in my
yep.
relationship, which I pray for all the time because we go through things sometimes. But God is
mm-hmm.
kept us. He has
yes.
brought us through many situations in life. You know, but the thing mm-hmm. is, we have to continue to let our children know, let our families know.
Yeah.
Jesus loves you. We love you. We're praying for you. And sometimes they come and they'll say, Pops, to pray for us, and I get in there
uh-huh.
with their mama and me, anoint their head, and sit there and hold hands, and we're going to go ahead and pray about this thing now. We ain't going to wait. And
come on.
Let them go on, you know, let them go on, because we all
mm.
need prayer, no matter who we are. We ain't
that's
too
right.
big for prayer. We
mm.
ain't too
mm.
high up for prayer. We all
that's
need
right.
it. You know? Mm-hmm. I tell you, like I said, I pray for all of my spiritual leaders, you know, because the thing is, they have enough with their own situations, and they still are overseers of the church of people that they have to deal with, they have to go through.
Amen.
People look and say,
yeah.
oh, they are a pastor or a preacher. They don't have to worry about none of this.
Right.
They really don't realize life. They really don't realize the Christian life,
right.
that the things that they have to go through above the people that they deal with. So
mm-hmm.
we continue to pray for y'all because we know y'all's task is hard too.
Oh.
And we have to continue
mm-hmm.
to pray one for another. Well, we're just about out of time again. brother, you want to pray us on out on this end here?
You talking to me? Or the brother,
yes, sir,
brother?
Mr. Hayes.
Okay.
Praise God.
You going to pray? Let us pray then, Requiem. Eternal God, Father, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you for the moment of prayer. Thank you for the brother and God that we talked tonight. You heard our conversation, you know all about us. Oh, God, I pray that you would bless, oh, God, in a special way, my brothers, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Praise God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. We thank God for you. And it was all good, you know, for all of us here tonight. We thank the Lord for you. Hope we can come together again in the name of Jesus. And we're going to go ahead and end that with shalom.
Shalom.
Everybody, much love.
Shalom.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.